Hidden with Christ Ministries presents Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of life. Now here's Rita with today's message.
Hello, friends. This week we have been taking a look at a subject that's often not discussed in Christian circles as freely as I believe God would have us, and it is the subject of human sexuality. God has very defined guidelines for us with regard to the area of our sexuality. God is the creator of sex, and the expression which He intended was to be within the confines of marriage. Yet there has been a strategic design on the part of Satan to undermine and pervert what God created to be something of beauty and joy, which is the sexual union in the marriage setting, and cause it to be perverted into something defiled and unclean. This week we have been discussing lies Satan tells people about sex. Today I want to address two specific lies that have been used by Satan to snare people into sexual immorality. The first one is this: if sexual immorality or perversion is just going on in my mind and I don't act on it with my body, then it's not sin. Many people are bound in the bondage of sexual fantasies which are absolutely outside the guidelines or parameters that God has designed. If you fantasize about sexual encounters with strangers or consider and think about sexual imagery outside of the context of marriage, you are on dangerous ground. Jesus addressed this very subject of sexual sin of the mind in Matthew chapter 5. He said in verse 27 and 28, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Jesus was specifically addressing the subject of not committing sexual sin with your body, but only committing it in your mind. And he pointed directly to that sin of the mind and called it sin and put it in the same category as a person who actually committed sexual sin, in this particular case, the sin of adultery. In the Message translation, this same passage is said in a most upfront kind of way. It says, "You know the next commandment pretty well, too. Don't go to bed with another's spouse. But don't think you've preserved your virtue simply by staying out of bed. Your heart can be corrupted by lust even quicker than your body. Those leering looks you think nobody notices, they also corrupt." When it says in this first verse, "Don't think you've preserved your virtue simply by staying out of bed. Your heart can be corrupted by lust even quicker than your body," I believe it points to this very sin of sexual immorality in the mind. With the number of images that are constantly bombarding people today that have a sexual connotation, it requires a tremendous amount of vigilance and diligence to keep your thought life pure from the taint of sexual immorality or sexual perversion in your thought life. Many people don't realize that even viewing movies and television programs or watching soap operas or reading romance novels is often setting yourself up to plant thoughts of a sexual nature in your own thought life that are contrary to the Word of God. If you observe someone committing adultery on a television screen or a movie screen, or you read about it in a romance novel, you are participating, even though vicariously, in that very sin. When Jesus said, if you're thinking about it in your heart, it's the same as committing adultery, he's certainly pointing out that that type of participation, though only with the mind and not the body, is just as sinful to God as if you'd gone out and had an illicit affair with your neighbor's wife. Philippians 4:8 addresses the subject of our thought life very pointedly. It lays out guidelines for us in the area of exactly what God would have us to spend time thinking about or meditating upon. It says in Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Many people start with the first one, whatever things are true, and they justify thinking about someone's sexual immorality or sexual encounter that's been reported in the newspaper, some well-known person having an affair with some other person, and they think about that and they read about that and they have no twinge of conscience about it because there it is, whatever things are true. But you must go on in that same verse and read whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue in it. Think on these things, because oftentimes things that are true are very wicked, and we don't need to spend our time thinking about those, meditating on that, considering it, reading up on it, because it brings in defilement or pollution to our thought life and causes us to begin to think about things that are not godly and don't bring us any closer to God, but instead bring in some spiritual pollution. The key for any person to avoid the sin of sexual fantasizing, or you could say sexual immorality of the mind, is to adhere very strictly to this Philippians 4:8 injunction. But what do you do if you're assaulted with thoughts and you're having a hard time putting your mind upon things that are pure? We've been given instructions in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, where it tells us that though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. God knows that we're walking as human beings in a sin-filled and fallen world, and he realizes we are going to be bombarded with opportunities to sin, enticements to sin, on a regular daily basis. But it says in verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 10, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." A key to victory in this area of sexual immorality in the thought life is to be determined with the grace of God and by his help and strength that we will recognize sexually immoral or impure thoughts that come to us and immediately, in the power of the Holy Spirit, cast down those things that are exalting themselves against the knowledge of God. And that we bring those thoughts into captivity to Christ. We say no. When that thought tries to trespass into your mind, you say stop. In the name of Jesus, I refuse to dwell on that thought. And I bring it into captivity to Christ Jesus, present it before his throne and say, Lord, I have no desire for this thought that has tried to invade my mind. And I bring it to your throne. This is a spiritual principle that brings forth victory. However, if you have been allowing thoughts to come in through opening the door yourself by viewing things on TV, in movies, on videos, or reading romance novels or other kinds of trashy literature that exploit the whole spirit of lust that people are often drawn to, You must first then confess those things to God as sin. Say, Father God, I confess to you, I opened the door. I've sinned against you by opening the door to unclean and impure thoughts, by looking at these things, by reading these things, and I confess this to you as sin. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to cleanse me. I don't want to participate in that any longer. I break off all agreement that I've ever made, knowingly or unknowingly, with this unclean spirit, this spirit of immorality that I've been considering in my thought life. And I nail it to the cross with Jesus until it's dead and gone out of my life. And I choose today to begin to think on what is pure and what is praiseworthy according to your word. And then be vigilant to guard against this type of sexual sin. That's all the time we have for today, but join me tomorrow as we continue taking a look at lies Satan tells people about sex. This is Rita Langland encouraging you to have a victorious week. Hi friends, this is Rita again. I want to take a minute and just invite you to prayerfully consider becoming a partner with Hidden with Christ Ministries as we reach around the world with the Word of God. This month, for our friends who send in a gift of $25 or more, we are offering a beautiful gift of the illustrated book of Acts. It is a fantastic gift for children or grandchildren. It has full color illustration in cartoon fashion of every single verse in the book of Acts in the NASB translation, and it is a wonderful gift that your family will just treasure. Times together reading and looking at the beautiful illustrations of the exciting adventures found in the book of Acts. Write to us today and let us know that you'd like to support Hidden with Christ Ministries, and with your gift of $25 or more, we'll send you this beautifully illustrated book of Acts. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great week.
Join us again weekdays at this same time for more practical truths from the Word of God on Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. To receive a free teaching tape, please check out our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Again, that's www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Or you can write us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267. Again, that's P.O. Box 3267 in Tustin, California, 92781 USA. In the United States, you can call us toll free at 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, that number is 1-866-HE-HEALS. We look forward to hearing from you.